We're going to go ahead and get started tonight. We are live. Thank you for those on Facebook that are dropping in on us this evening. And we appreciate that. And so good to be here tonight, House of the Lord, our midweek recharge. I don't know about you, but I need to be recharged. And Sunday was a long time ago. And so it's just so good to be here this evening. Good to have Brother James Westbrook with us. And as he said, in living color. And Miss Linda. And so good to have all y'all with us tonight and in the service with us. And we had chapel this morning. I was given the opportunity to preach this morning at Grace Christian Academy in the chapel, as I do from time to time. Since school has started, there's been probably five or six students that got saved. Well, I want to report to you tonight. We had one get saved this morning. Amen. And it didn't happen immediately in the service, but it happened. Lily got in the car this afternoon. The first thing she said was, "Dad, Amelia got saved today." And what a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. And so we appreciate the Lord. And it just seems like the Lord's been moving on a lot of young hearts lately. And that is the next generation. And so we need to feed that and reach out to our young people. But nonetheless, we praise the Lord for that. We're going to jump right into our prayer request time tonight. And then we'll open up the floor if you have anything you'd like to make mention of. Let's remember all of the families, multiple families that have been affected by COVID. And so many people, we know it's on the uptick right now. And so let's remember those who are battling that tonight. And let's remember, continue to remember, Brother Ricky Harper. I haven't heard the latest update on him. Has anybody heard? I reached out to his brother, Brother Steve Harper, yesterday. And he's about the same. He's on the ventilator, on dialysis. And so let's just continue to remember him and Miss Ruby as well in your prayers. Miss Mary Kelly, some may know her grandson had taken a fall. And I believe what she said was some bones were broken, maybe even some facial bones. So let's remember Miss Mary Kelly and her grandson in our prayers. Let's remember Miss Mary Ann Sandvi tonight and Brother Eddie. Now, Brother Eddie's at home. But we're going to have special prayer tonight for... We have special prayer Sunday night for Brother Ricky Harper. We'll have a special designated prayer tonight for Brother Eddie. And I know Miss Mary Ann's fine with that. And for all the rest, we'll have special prayer too. Continue to remember Chuck and C.C. Prestridge, their son, who is recovering from his accident on the scooter. Johnny and Pat Eccles. Jim and Bonnie Carmichael, our children's home, and that everyone would stay healthy and well, and good to see Miss Teresa back there tonight. And so let's remember our house parents as well. And so we'll remember them. Let's remember the Teagues. Let's remember Don Daly and family, Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey. I talked with Brother Snyder today, and thank you, Brother David. I talked with Brother Snyder today, and Brother Randy, you know, he had his bone marrow transplant, I think about a week ago. Well, for 21 days, he has to go for blood infusions and something also with those blood infusions. Not really sure what it is, but let's remember Brother Randy on that as he goes through that, Miss Janet. And he has zero immunity, zero, Randy does. And so let's pray for him and them. And Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Brother Leonard and his eye situation, let's remember them. David and Glenda Henderson, with their request they've been making mention of as of late. Harold Dolph, Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, and their friend that is 4 months of chemo. Is that right? 4 months of chemo she has to take. So let's remember them. Let's also remember Rodney Colston and his wife Robin. And I haven't heard any updates lately, but last we did hear, she was on the ventilator, so we're praying, or in ICU, but we're praying for the best in that situation. Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, and those, of course, in the military that serve our country, let's remember them. And maybe someone has a prayer request or an update or a praise they'd like to make mention of tonight. Are these members of your church?
We start on Forrest Ellis.
Family.
Geneva, Forrest, me and Forrest, and Darrell on it.
Okay.
And Bobby,
yeah.
And we started faith that temple.
Okay.
And
so.
He's moved to Douglasville. And he was at the church coming out of Douglasville on the right.
Oh, right. Yes, sir. Well, we'll certainly remember this request. Thank you for mentioning that. Someone have a... Ms. Teresa? I heard that. We'll remember him. Absolutely, absolutely. Looked pretty bad. Well, praise the Lord for his protection. And good to see Miss Nancy Card with us tonight. Blessing to have her with us. Anybody else? Okay. Well, let's remember this coming up Sunday morning at 10:30. It'll be our homecoming service, and Brother Snyder will be preaching for us, and we'll have some food afterwards. But we are definitely leaning on the side of caution as far as the COVID and all. Our servers, we'll have a few servers, and they'll have masks and gloves on. And I'm not saying this because of lack of faith. I'm saying this just because of the COVID. But I really don't foresee a large crowd on this year's homecoming. And so it shouldn't be a problem with us eating downstairs. We'd like to get it in while we can, because it may be a while before we can meet and eat again. And so remember that. And then the following Sunday on the 19th, we're having a baptism service for the two young souls that got saved, Alex and Omani. And so we're looking forward to that. And anything else to mention before we pray? All right, all right. Well, all that would and that would like to, you can meet me in the altar while we pray. You can sit where you're sitting. Whatever you like to do is up to you. And we'll have special prayer. We normally have silent prayer on Wednesday night, but I'll lead us tonight in prayer, and you pray as I pray. And we'll be lifting up Brother Eddie especially tonight. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. And Lord, we're just very thankful for the crowd that came tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless every person for being here and just strengthen, empower. Lord, someone here tonight may need some direction in their life. We pray that you give direction. Lord, we pray that you give us all protection from this COVID crisis. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to move forward as a church. And it seems like when we get some momentum going and things are starting to happen, this COVID mess starts to come on the scene, rising in numbers. But Lord, just give us wisdom. Give us understanding on what we should do, how we should handle ourselves here at Calvary. Tonight, Lord, I pray for Brother Ed Sanvey. Lord, I lift him up to you tonight in a very special way. I pray, dear God, that you would touch his mind mentally. Lord, Miss Marianne is here tonight, and with a heavy heart, God, I just pray that you would be with her and give her peace, Lord. Give her grace and strength to continue to take care of Brother Eddie. But we do pray, Lord, that you would heal Brother Eddie. God, we pray that you would allow him to get better slowly and inch his way along, Lord. We pray that he could start to talk more clearer and to do things that he was doing even a few days ago or a week ago. We pray that he'll get back on that path, Lord, the path of wellness. We just pray that you'll take care of your child, Lord, Brother Eddie being your child. And we pray for all of the COVID patients, Lord, everyone that's been affected by some measure. We pray, Lord, for healing, oh God. We pray for protection. Lord, just give us strength to take care of those who are weak and sickly is our prayer, Lord. Meet with us tonight in a very special way. Be with the young people downstairs. Be with the teachers. Protect us as we worship here on this corner in Powder Springs. And Lord, be with our nation. Be with our president. Lord, be with our land. May we humble our hearts before you. And Lord, I pray that you'll do a great work in our world. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Said it was good to have James and Linda, but it's good to have Shelly with us. Your name slipped my mind, but I know who you are, and you know I know you. So anyway, we want to get that in there. Book of Mark tonight, chapter number 5. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 5. And a while back, we were looking at several individuals whom the Lord had changed their life. And like I said, we were more or less in an evangelistic vein on Wednesday nights, talking about sharing Jesus with others. And we, of course, we talked about Nathanael and how he came to the Lord, and Zacchaeus and how he came to the Lord. We even, on some Sunday mornings, we mentioned Matthew's pen, how Matthew came to the Lord. But tonight, we're going to look at another individual that came to the Lord. And in Mark chapter number 5, it's the maniac man of Gadara. But if I had a title tonight, the title would be this: When the Crazy Man Met Christ. When the Crazy Man Met Christ. And so if you would, follow along. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, he, Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. We're going to stop there in verse number 6. Just to give a little background of what's taking place here in this particular chapter in the book of Mark and surrounding chapters. We know that Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, and then he got into a ship, and he and the disciples, and they were making their way to the other side. We know that there was a storm that arose, a windstorm, the Bible says, a great, great wind. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, verse number 38 of chapter 4 says. And we know that they got Jesus' attention, and he quietened the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And the storm was quietened. And now they make a stop over in the land, the country of the Gadarenes, chapter 5 and verse number 1. And let me just say tonight that Jesus, from my estimation and from my study of these verses, Jesus made this stop for one individual.
Amen.
One individual. And it was this man with the demonic spirit. And you know Jesus, he will go out of his way. He will move heaven and earth just for one person to get saved. A lot of times in the Baptist church, I know myself, I'm guilty of times of fretting, I guess worrying that the church is not packed out, that every pew is not filled. But you know, the Lord, He deals with my heart on that. And really, it's not about a multitude.
Amen.
It's not about having a full church.
Amen.
It's about reaching that one soul. And over time, when you reach one soul at a time, you'll find your church growing. But tonight, the Lord, He paid a special visit over in the country of the Gadarenes for one individual. And the Lord changed his life. So tonight I want to look at that account for just a few moments when the crazy man met Christ. When the crazy man met Christ. The first thing I want to mention about this crazy man, we see his condition in verse number 2. Notice verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now another word or words for unclean spirit is just simply demon possessed. He was demon possessed. He was possessed by a demon. And the Bible says that he said, "Call me legion, for we are many." And so it was many demons that was tormenting this man. He was the demonic man of Gadara. And so we see, since he was demon possessed, that the devil had control in his life. And let me say tonight, it doesn't matter how young we are, doesn't matter how old we may be, the devil is always on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. In fact, in John 10:10, I'll just give it to you, the Bible mentions that the devil, the enemy, he is out to steal, kill, and destroy all lives. Again, 1 Peter 5:8, the devil, he's as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 2 in verse number 11 says, Paul speaking, he tells us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so tonight, let us be on guard. Let us have our faith supervise our emotions, as we said last Wednesday night. Let us stay on guard. Let us stay close to Christ. And again, have our faith continually supervising our emotions. You know, we mentioned several prayer requests a moment ago. A lot of people are going through a lot of things, and the devil would love nothing more for us to get caught up in how we feel toward what's going on in our lives. He capitalizes on those things. You're going through a storm tonight. You're going through a trial tonight. He wants you to think that you'll never get through it. He wants you to crumble with fear. He wants you to get so caught up in your storm, your situation, that your emotions run wild and it pushes you away from Jesus and not close to Him. And so that's what He wants to do. He wants to control our lives. And if He can use a situation, if He can use fear, then He will certainly do that. But nonetheless, this evening we see that this maniac man, this crazy man, he had a certain condition, and that condition was he was demon-possessed. Now, there's a second thing I want to mention. Not only his condition, but his habitation. Look in verse number 2 again. The Bible says, "And when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs." Tonight we see that this crazy man's habitation was in the cemetery. Does anybody want to go tonight and sleep in the cemetery? Not I. The cemetery is not a place where the living hang out. The cemetery is the place where the departed are, their souls are. Those who have trusted Christ are in heaven, and those who have not trusted Christ are in hell. That's why it's so important to do business with God now on this side of eternity. But he hung out in the cemetery. He hung out in the graveyard. Luke's account of this particular story said it was a place of wilderness. It was a wilderness place. And we know in the Bible that the wilderness is not a good place. We know that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. We know that David in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, on one occasion he said, "Oh, I wish I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest." And he said, "I would hasten my escape and I would stay in the wilderness." The wilderness. The only thing about the wilderness is it's a place of loneliness. The wilderness is a place of temptation. The wilderness is a place of isolation. And so this crazy man, he was in that kind of position. He was living in the cemetery, the dark, dreary, dreadful place. And so that's where he lived. And tonight we are called to be among the living and not the dead. We are called to come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so he lived in the cemetery. Now, I want you to notice something else. In verse number 3 and 4, not only do we see his habitation, his condition, but notice his reaction. Verse number 3, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." Verse 4, "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." His reaction to people trying to help him. No doubt family and friends tried to control this man, being demon-possessed and living in the cemetery. He was a crazy man, and no doubt he had those who loved him and cared about him and tried to contain him. But the Bible says he would just pop, pop, pop every time they would try to chain him from going crazy and running through the community and scaring people. They tried to chain him, but no man, the Bible says, no man could tame him. Every time they tried to control the situation and bind him up, he would just break free once again. And so we see that in verse number 4. And we see that in verse number 3 that they tried to control. He had a rebellious spirit. He was unable to change on the outside. They couldn't control him on the outside because there was no change on the inside. You see, real change tonight starts on the inside. And when Jesus really changes us on the inside, there'll be no need for any change on the outside. The Lord, He's the one who does the liberating. When a person gets saved or a person comes back to the cross, nobody will have to stay on them and tell them, hey, you need to be in church. Nobody will have to stay on them and tell them, hey, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to do what's right. Because when a person is truly changed, then they won't have to have those forces on the outside making them. They will come willingly. But nonetheless, this man was rebellious. He was rebellious. Now, this didn't dawn on me until last night, actually, when I was looking at this, that in Matthew's gospel, you don't have to turn there as of yet, but in Matthew's gospel, there was actually two maniac men of Gadara. I never thought about that before. And then I got to reading it. But the only one that's emphasized that was truly made free was this man. Both were crazy, but this one had a little more crazy. And tonight, that's the way the world is. There's all kinds of people in different dilemmas, all kinds of people that need to be saved, all kinds of people that may be saved but may be away from the Lord. It's just some are a little bit crazier than the others. Including myself at times, I think I'm going crazy. But his reaction, he was rebellious. He was rebellious. Notice something else. Not only his reaction, he was rebellious, but look at his desperation in verse number 5. His desperation. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I want to tell a personal story tonight. I'm not going to mention any names. A family member of mine, probably about 10 years ago. This man was a desperate man. He was cutting himself. Why was he cutting himself? I remember back when we were going to Floyd Road, and I was coming out of the service one morning, and my sister was there. She said, Justin, your niece wants to see you. She's in the car. I've got 4 nieces. And so I said, okay. And I went down to the car, and I looked in the window. Brother James, she had tiny little gashes all over her face. On her arms seemed like hundreds of little gashes. She said, Uncle Justin, I'm so ashamed. I said, what's wrong with you, honey? She said, I'm just so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I've got so much emotional pain on the inside. I've got inside pain. And the only way to alleviate it and get my mind off of it and distract it was cutting myself. That physical pain allowed me to forget about my inside pain. And I mean, that crushed me. I spent a while talking to her and prayed with her. And today she is a much, much better young lady. She's a mother today. I believe she went on to trust the Lord for salvation. She's doing great. She's a nurse. But I said that to say this. There are so many people tonight that are suffering from emotional pain, inward pain, that need help. And this man, he was always, the Bible says, night and day, in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. No doubt he knew that he was in the shape he was in, being demon-possessed and his life out of control, and he was crying and cutting himself with stones, probably because it distracted him from the inside pain. We see his desperation. His desperation. But then, lastly tonight, I want to spend a minute here. We see his transformation. That's not the end of the story. Because this crazy man met Jesus. Now, in verse number 6, notice the Bible says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." And so here we have a picture of this man acknowledging Jesus as Lord and understanding and recognizing that he was the Savior, and he worshiped him. He humbled his heart before the Lord. And in verse number 18, or verse number 15, notice with me. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid." They were still afraid. They were afraid when he was crazy, and they were afraid when he was right, when he was made right. But you know, we have that in the Bible several times. Another occasion is when Paul got saved. Many said, "Oh, no. We're not going to go see Saul. He persecuted the church." And so many times this is the trend, how the Lord will save someone and yet it be almost fearful to those who knew that person. He was sitting, he was clothed, and in his right mind. That's the kind of transformation that Jesus can make tonight. He can make that kind of transformation in your life, in my life. And I'm sure we all could testify of that. And so this man whom Satan was controlling and destroying was miraculously transformed into a preacher of the gospel. It happened when he met Jesus. He realized Jesus as the Savior. He worshiped him. He gave his life to him. Now notice, we looked at verse number 15. Of course, verse number 15 really shows us that Jesus broke those inside chains. That Jesus really dealt with that inside pain. He cast out those devils and demons, and because of that, he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. So Jesus tonight is a chain breaker. He's one who can steal our hearts and our minds. Something else. Let's see. Down in verse number 18, he says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." And so now he wants to be with Jesus. And you see, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the telltale signs of someone who has met the Lord. They want to be with the Lord. They want to be around the people of God. They want to go to the church of God. They want to get in God's Word. They want to pray and do right. It's a token of someone getting right with the Lord. And so he wanted to be with the Lord. Verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Here tonight we have the story of the demonic maniac transformed into a divine messenger. The crazy man that met Jesus. I'm sure we all tonight could testify of Jesus' wonder-working power that has worked in our lives and our situation. And I realize and understand there are some here tonight that need the Lord to intervene in their life with their particular situations. Maybe the message tonight was just a reminder of what God can truly do if we just let Him. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, tonight I pray that something was said that was a help. Something was said, Lord, that just was confirmation to our own lives that you're truly working in our lives. There are so many people, Lord, that need salvation tonight, that's out in our communities, that's probably like this demonic man. and all they need is a God encounter. I pray that we would do our part, Lord, and be ready to give an answer to every man for the reason of the hope we have in Christ. Be with each and every need this evening, Lord. I pray that you'll just keep us all safe and bring us back safely on Sunday. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody have anything they'd like to mention before we close tonight? Right.
And I feel like that the reason that the people got afraid, they was afraid of Jesus.
Sure.
His power to heal that man.
Amen.
I thought the thought come to me about the accident I had in 2020, January the 3rd, 2020, and they parked at my mailbox, and I had to get out to get a letter that I dropped, put it in the mailbox, and I started sitting back down in my car, and I felt just a quicker than that. Didn't hurt for anybody.
Jeez.
And I thought to myself, now when I stop rolling, I'm going to shut up. And I did. And that was one miracle, but two miracles happened there. Because he knocked my car, my van, sent around 75, 80 feet up in the yard. I rolled up the highway like that, and my van come across like that and went up in the yard.
Gracious.
And it's a miracle that my van didn't run over.
Yes, sir.
And,
wow, how about that?
Yeah. And so that, got one broke thumb out of it.
Lord gave you a 2-for-1 that day, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Protected you twice. Brother James, if you didn't hear him back there, was just testifying of how the Lord protected him when he got hit. Someone hit his van right on the edge of his driveway. I remember that happening, actually. I remember that happening. And then the van almost ran him over when he was coming to. And so Lord blessed him there as well. Thank you for that testimony, Brother James. So good having y'all tonight. Anybody else? All right, we're done a bit early this evening, but that's all I have for tonight. And so if that's all we have, nothing else to share, then we can be dismissed. You're at liberty to go.